first lesson on the third Sunday in Lent comes from Malachi, chapter 3. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament lesson comes from 2 Corinthians. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, I greet you in the abundant name of Jesus Christ this morning. Around the turn of the last century, there was a six-year-old girl by the name of Hattie Mae Wyatt. She went to Sunday school at Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia. And when she went to the Sunday school room, she found it very crowded. It was hard to get in. There were so many children in there. And so she asked the minister about it, and he said that one day they would have to build a bigger building, big enough to allow everyone that wanted to attend. He said, "When we get the money, we will build a larger one to let all the children in." Unfortunately, Hattie died 2 years later. And after the funeral, her mother came to the minister with a little bag that she had found under Hattie's pillow. And in the bag was 57 cents in change. Along with the money was a note that said, "To help build bigger so that more children can go to Sunday school." So the minister decided that he would cash all of the change out into just pennies, 57 pennies, and that he would offer those pennies for sale. Well, from that sale, he got over $250. And so he decided to cash that money in for pennies too and continue the sale under the newly formed Wyatt Mite Society. Well, God kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying Hattie's 57 cents. And so after 26 years, the church had grown to some 5,600 people. And it had a hospital with it. And it had a university attached to it. And there was over 2,000 people on their missionary staff. You see, God had indeed blessed Hattie's small contribution until it became a mighty mite. Now that story, of course, reminds us of our gospel lesson that Carrie just read to us from Mark 12. Jesus was sitting across and watching the people put in their offerings in the collection box or treasure chest. And he noticed this poor widow come and place two little copper coins that weren't worth very much at all into the collection box. And knowing her heart, like he knows all of our hearts, he knew that's all she had to live on. He knew that her love for God was even more important than her welfare at that point in time. Most likely she knew that God somehow would provide for her, like he had always provided for her during her life. Would we have had the same faith that that widow had? You know, Hattie Mae's story reminds us of what God can do with two small copper mighty mites, right? Because, you know, in fact, in reality, God doesn't need our money. God has all the money in the world. As a matter of fact, God doesn't need money at all. What he wants is our heart directed to loving him and loving our neighbors. What he wants is for us to recognize that these are his gifts given to us for his purposes. What he wants is our willingness to allow him to multiply whatever we give back. You know, we've been talking this month so far about stewardship of the gifts and resources that he has given us. And today we want to focus a little bit on the financial resources that he's given us, that he has allowed us to have. Now, in our Old Testament lesson, from Malachi 3, we see that even 430 years before Jesus was born, love of money was still part of the human condition, right? Because God wants humankind to return a portion of the resources he's given us so that we can stand back and we can watch what he does with it. In our lesson, we see the Israelites were holding back on God. They were robbing him, as he says. And because of that, the whole nation was under a curse. And then he challenged them. He said, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I do not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there would be not room enough to store it." Does God lie? Of course not. Can we trust what he says? Yes. So why do people, even today, not believe that he will bless us even more when we give back to his kingdom because our hearts are on the same track as him? I don't mean grudgingly. I don't mean out of a sense of burden or a sense of obligation. No, willingly, cheerfully, giving to him and then seeing what he does with it. Now, I could stay and talk here, but I'd rather you listen to someone from our congregation who has taken this lesson to heart and will tell us what God has done in her life. So I'd like to have Janet Hinton come up here and tell us how God has blessed her in this life.
Hello. May all my words glorify God. I'm going to give you a brief testimony about how I started out. I was raised in church, baptized as a baby, and went to Sunday school. I knew all the Bible stories and knew Jesus died for me, but I had never read the Bible. Most of my life, I have been on the wrong side of God. By that, I mean I was a lost, hurt child. I have cried a sea of tears, had many broken relationships, was in debt up to my neck, and never felt accepted. One day I asked God, what do I keep doing wrong? I believe there was a party in heaven that day, and that was the question God was waiting on. He started showing me things. I joined Way Down Workshop. Now God will use whatever you're interested in to get a hold of you. It was How to Lose Weight God's Way by Gwen Shamblin. Gwen used scripture and videos. It was actually a Bible study, but I thought I was there to lose weight. About the third week watching the scripture-based videos about food and relationship, something popped off my ears, and I could hear God. That was the beginning. One of the first things God asked me to do was tithe. I was like, tithe. I know that's 10%. I knew that much. I asked a few people if it was gross or the net. Turns out it's the gross. I looked in the Bible about tithe, and it's the first lesson is what I was led to. And it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And I'm paraphrasing. And the last part that I jumped off the page was, test me in this. That was in 1999. Now, I was someone who only gave $5 or maybe $1 each week in the plate. But that first payday, I wrote out a check for $400 to Epiphany. When I put that envelope in the plate, I almost jumped up and ran the church. I sat right over there. You didn't do that here. I felt the spirit of robbing God leave me. I felt free. Remember in Malachi 3:8, it says, you are robbing me in tithes and offerings. You are under a curse. So later, I go home that Sunday, and I walked into the bathroom, and I was talking to God. And I said, I tithe, all the bills are paid, and I have food. The only thing I need is some razors. Now, I'm talking about those 10-cent razors, you know, single blade, little skinny, nothing fancy, 10 for a dollar. The next Sunday after church, I went to Walmart, and as I was leaving, a store clerk was pushing a cart full of stuff. It seemed heavy, and she couldn't get it over the curb, and I assisted her, and boxes fell all over the place. She asked me if I wanted some. I had no clue what was in them and actually told her no. She insisted and said, yes, take a couple. So I did, not having any idea what was in them. At home, I said, well, let's see what's in here. I open it, and there are three razors in each box. Now, these are not ordinary razors. They look like they were made by NASA. They are five blades, ergonomic handles, pretty pink. Blew my mind. When God provides, he goes over the top. I continued to trust God, although at first, with tithing and paying the bills, it left me with minimal spending money. But I always had what I needed. Next issue was I had a football party at my house on Saturday night, and a guest ordered a Domino's pizza from my house. Turns out on Monday I had a craving for pizza, and I only had $20 in my checking account. Domino's large was $17. I said, Lord, I'd love a pizza, but I better not spend all my money. I'll wait. So what do I get in the mail on Tuesday? A postcard from Domino's. It said, because of your recent order, we'd like to reward you with a free large pizza. I'm not kidding. God did it again. Now, fast forward to 2009. God had me step out in faith, the full-time ministry. I didn't retire. I didn't get retirement, pension, unemployment, food stamps, nothing. It was just me and God. I continued to tithe whatever funds I got. I also had four offerings for other ministries outside of Epiphany that I sponsored. If I had a payment for $200, God had to provide $220. Along with tithing, I had to be obedient. Several times, the money would just drizzle in for each bill, $10, $20, until I got the right amount. My house payment was $600. On one occasion, I had $400 toward the payment, and the due date was 3 days away. While this was going on, God led me to attend a seminar at about a guest speaker from Kansas City. He was the president of International House of Prayer. He's an Asian man, and at the end of his two-hour amazing testimony of faith, God said to me, I want you to give him $200. Now, I didn't holler while I was there, but on the inside, I went, what? That doesn't make any sense, Lord. I'm going backward. I need money to pay the house payment, not give it away. God was silent. So I know what that means. I wrote out the check to Mr. Kim, and I wanted to personally put it in his hand because it was for him, not his ministry. As I was handing him the check, he said to me, is this from God? I just smiled because I thought, dude, you have no idea. The very next day, I got a check for $600. You have to have faith to see God's faithfulness. I have a testimony for every bill, for every month, for every year, for over 10 years. The last one I'm going to share with you is the most profound and had the deepest impact on me, and it was the smallest bill. Now, prior to this, I had prayed for God to give me a job working for him with a paycheck. Right after that prayer, I was offered to teach children's church. I got a check every 2 weeks for $38. That really wasn't what I meant. The gross was $40. Now, I always tithe $5 because I just thought that $4 was cheesy. I had gotten a Comcast bill for $40. That is a miracle in itself. But somehow I asked them to combine my three services and the bill was $40. I had $5 in my checking account. I had my $38 check, so the $5 I had was the tithe. So I have $38. Here's my paycheck. I need $2. I threw everything out of my purse. As I sat at the dining room table, I knew I had at least $2 in change. You know you all have pennies down in the bottom. So I'm throwing everything out of my purse, and I throw out just everything. It's all over the place. There's not one red penny in my purse. I heard the Lord say, "You're trying to do this yourself." I actually sat back and said, well, then you're going to have to do it because, as you can see, there's not any extra money. Right then, now remember, I'm holding my paycheck, and I'm looking at this pile of stuff. I felt the Holy Spirit lift my chin, and my eyes fell on that envelope right there. I thought, what is this? Here's my paycheck. I opened it, and there was $15 cash inside. Someone had placed that in my purse. God placed that in my purse. I began to cry because right then I heard the Lord preach the gospel to me. Janet, I crawled up on that cross and bled all my blood and died for you. Then I rose again so you could live with me in heaven. Don't you know I'll pay your bills? I cried for 2 days for several reasons. First, for God's love is great and he is faithful, and for my doubt. I have never doubted again that God will take care of me. I have more money now with that 90% than I ever had when I had the whole thing. I believe that tithes, plural, stands for trust in the holy everlasting Savior, and debt stands for doing everything but tithing. God is always faithful, and he is my greatest treasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Words to live by. Don't doubt God. He will come through. Have you ever thought about doing what Janet did? Well, it could be that some of the reason to not do it might be because we're unsure. Or maybe we're even scared to let go of what we have. But the question is, do we trust God to fulfill his promise? Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Janet's method is to pay God first. And I know many of us do that. I do that. And I have found that he is always faithful to bless us when we allow him to do the work. Wouldn't you like to feel good about your donations to whatever is in, whatever his kingdom ministry is? Wouldn't you like to be out from the burden of money like Janet has felt? You can. Just keep in mind what Paul wrote in our second lesson today. He said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Certainly good words to remember, don't you think? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for giving us those things that enrich our lives, and we know that you will continue to give to us. We also know that you want us to share those resources with others so that your kingdom is enriched too. Help us not to be hoarders of your goodness, but cheerful givers to your kingdom. Whether we give to the church, or to people in need of basic supplies, or to bring your word to people needing to hear it, please multiply it for your purposes. We know that you are pleased when we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.